praise you. We thank you tonight, Lord, for all that you're doing at Calvary. We love you, oh Lord, and tonight as we prepare our hearts to celebrate, Lord, communion. As I pray always, Lord, if we've sinned by word, deed, thought, or action, if we have grieved or quenched the precious Holy Spirit in any way, oh Lord, we run to the throne of grace. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. Because, Lord, of all nights, we want to make sure that tonight our heart is open and bare before you. Lord, look deep within it and help us, Lord, to see anything that displeases you and that we repent of it, turn from it. Now, Lord, we praise you. We love you. We ask for your blessing upon this tonight's service in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me tonight as we conclude with the essentials of the heart. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3 again. That's where we were last week. Colossians chapter 3. This is the number 6 in a series and the final one tonight as we conclude with the essentials of the heart. It's a summer series that we've been going over and looking into our heart. And I think it's appropriate tonight as we close out this series with the topic of a thankful heart. A thankful heart. And, you know, the kind of life that we live today, literally, and you know it and I know it because we've learned, is actually a result of what's going on in our hearts. Amen? And every action is literally a heart action. And our heart is the center of all that operates in us. You know, in other words, all that is good, all those things that maybe not be so good, they all come from the heart. Everything originates there. The real you, the real me is found in our hearts. Let me read that foundational scripture to you that we have opened with every Wednesday night for the past 6 weeks from Proverbs 4. Verse 23, where it says, keep, or literally guard, protect your heart with all diligence, which means above everything else, protect your heart. And it tells us why. For out of it proceed the issues of life. And as I say every time, that word life is a big, big word. Amen? And boy, all that we goes on into our heart, everything that's going on comes right out of our heart. And God says in his word, listen, above everything else, you need to protect your heart. For out of it proceeds the issues of life. So we've learned that, you know, Jesus is alive in our hearts. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. We know that, crying, Abba, Father, there in our hearts. He lives there, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We know that we're speaking of glory. We've learned about our heart, that we're being transformed, if you will, from glory to glory into the same image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And if we are stuck in glory, it's not a God problem, is it? No, if we're stuck in glory, it's a bill problem or a problem from your own heart. It's always a heart issue if we're not willing to keep going forward. Because I can promise you, the Holy Spirit is always wanting to change us. Amen? Always changing us into Christ's likeness. We realize that we have that wonderful heart of a finisher and that we're looking at the author and finisher of our faith, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we learned last week here in Colossians chapter 3 about the peace of God. Matter of fact, let's just begin at verse 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, the things that we've just talked about, look what he says to do. Paul says, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond or the belt, if you will, of perfection. And here's the scripture we camped on last Wednesday night. And let the peace of God, or literally it's the peace of Christ, rule where? In your hearts. Very, very important. To which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Now, the word rule, as we already know, is found nowhere else in the New Testament but here. And the word literally means to umpire. It's an athletic term in the Greek. And it's, in other words, Jesus is our divine umpire. And the tender mercies and the kindness and the long-suffering and the goodness, all those things work through our Lord and Savior, who is the umpire in our heart. Amen? And if they're not working, maybe we've stopped Jesus from working. And so, in other words, that we're maybe doing something we shouldn't be doing. But you know, the thing about letting Christ rule in our hearts, being the umpire, is if we don't have a peace about doing something, we shouldn't do it. Amen? You know, the Bible tells us, for example, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's a given. We know that's the perfect will of God. Don't ever do that. However, if he's, you know, if we say we have a job in Montana on a dude ranch or something, you know, and we're going to move or something, well, you can't find that anywhere in the Bible, can you? So you have to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You have to allow God to umpire that decision, and he will never, ever lead you astray. And we learn that we should never violate that peace. Now, from verse 15, I want you to make sure we don't miss that word where it says, to which you were also called in one body. Listen, we were not only buried with Christ, we were raised with Christ. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:6 that we are also seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and we are also complete in Christ. Amen? And not only that, when we look at this one body, all of us here tonight, all of you that's listening live, if you're in Christ, if you're born from above, listen very carefully. We equally all share the same position. Amen? All of us, we equally share that same position in Christ. But we may not all in the body of Christ practice our position. What would happen? What would happen if every person who is attached to Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, what if we literally, all of us, allowed the peace of God to truly rule in our hearts, to truly umpire in our hearts? And if we allowed that to happen, where we were practicing all the time the heart of Christ, you know, because we've taken his yoke, amen? The yoke is that lowly heart of Jesus that lives in us. And imagine if we practice all that, these tender mercies and kindness and forgiving one another. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 15:7, Paul says, therefore receive one another just as Christ has received us. You know what? The true heart of Calvary Chapel, you know how it's exposed? It's exposed through me, and it's exposed through each and every one of you. In other words, the true heart of Calvary Chapel is revealed by you and by me because we belong to one body. Amen? So whenever people talk to us, they come in, they visit with us, or when we minister one to another, when we love one another, you know, the truth of the matter is the heart of Christ, the heart of this church is revealed through each and every one of us. And we could all ask ourselves a question. If everyone served like me, what kind of church would Calvary be? If everyone gave like me, what kind of church would Calvary be? If everyone greeted one another the way I greet one another, how would this church really be? How would it be seen? That's an important thought, isn't it? All of us are one body, and how we need to each of us. If we're his body, what means we have to have a head, and Jesus is the head of the body. Amen? We're just attached to him, and we are nourished and receive our strength through him. So there in Colossians 3:15, where it talks about the peace of God ruling in our hearts, I want you to look at the last two words, and that is our key tonight. In verse 15, it says, rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and what? Be thankful. Say that with me. Be thankful. That is our key verse or our key words tonight. Especially, I think it's appropriate that we close out this series with a thankful heart because we're getting ready to celebrate communion. Amen? So I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, you know what? Would you say that thankless believers are usually peaceless believers? There's just not a lot of peace in their hearts. You know what I mean? And did you know that really and truly peace and thankfulness are almost inseparable? They just literally go together. Matter of fact, on this last essential that we look tonight about a thankful heart, no matter what we're experiencing, having a thankful heart, so important. You know, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good just like a medicine. But you know, if we really, we could have another theme in the book of Colossians, okay? besides Christ and his church, for example, the theme of Colossians. We could have another theme, and that's the theme of being thankful. I looked and counted them here. Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father. Colossians 2:7, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Colossians 3:15, be thankful. I just read that. Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with, there's that word grace. It means thanks in our hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, it says, giving thanks to God the Father. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. You know, there's something about being thankful. Someone once told me, said, you can find something to be thankful about in this life. Amen? Find it and be thankful. That's what this person one time told me. You know, Jesus told us, remember that in Matthew 12:34, he said from the abundance of the heart, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said, whatever is in our heart, whatever comes out of our mouth, rather, it comes from our heart, and it's an accurate gauge of who we really are, if we're really thankful or not. And I think it's important that we listen to what we say. Listen to what we say to other people, how we talk to our family, our wives, our husbands, and so forth. You know, it says in Hebrews 13:15, you can write this down or look at it later, but it says, therefore, meaning because Jesus died outside of the camp for our sins, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. And here it is. That is the fruit of our lips. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Paul says, or whoever the writer of Hebrews was, I believe it to be Paul, he says, the fruit of our lips. Where does the fruit of our lips come from? From our heart. He says that the fruit of our lips, here it is, giving thanks to his name, the name of our Father which art in heaven, all the incredible names of God. I mean, do you know, you've heard me say it many times. There are over 80 Old Testament names for God. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of peace. Amen? He's the God of hope. We can go through this. He's El Shaddai. He's El Rofi. He's all these things. The Bible tells us who he is. He's our provider, Jehovah Jireh. I mean, all that he is. We can be thankful. Amen? You know what? You may be saying, I don't know which way I'm going today. I don't know what's wrong in my life. I'm telling you, if you are in Christ, he's leading you someplace. If you are a true believer, he's going to get you there. He's going to get you home. So we need to be thankful. But the way to really be thankful is to know who God is, to really know who Jesus is. You know, remember what caused Jesus to weep in John 11:35? Remember it says Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Amen. Thank you. He wept because of the unbelief of the people that were there. The unbelief in his ability. Jesus said, did I not say unto you to Mary, Martha, and all the rest of them, if you would just believe, John 11:40, if you just believe, you would see the glory of God. It broke his heart. May I say something to you? That unbelief in the ability of God says that we really don't know much about God. Amen? No, I'm not being critical. I'm talking, this is serious business. You know, I look at this and I say, oh Lord, our hearts should explode with thanks. And our hearts should never be filled with doubt and unbelief. You know, remember what it says in Hebrews 3:12. It says, beware of what? That evil heart of unbelief. A heart that's filled with belief. God says, that's just an evil heart. And God says, no, I don't want you to do that. And that's the main reason for thankfulness. Unthankfulness is not believing in God that he's going to make it happen. You know, there are days that just like, I have days just like you. I am certainly no closer to God than you are. Just because I'm a pastor, I don't have any more pull, and I'm no more holy. We're all in it together. Amen. And there are days that I have to look into my heart and say, Lord, you know what? I'm not expecting. I say, I want that out of my heart. I want to be expectant. I know you're going to do something today. I have to keep renewing my mind to God's word just like you do. I have to keep trusting and believing just like you do. The Bible tells us in Psalm 69, I believe verse 30, it says this. It says, I will praise the name of the Lord with song. That's a good thing to do. We just did that, didn't we? But he says something else that David said. He said, and I will magnify him. Magnify God. And it says, tells us how. With a grateful heart. With a thankful heart. In other words, with thanksgiving. When's the last time you magnified God? Now, to magnify God doesn't mean that you make God bigger. Does that, you understand? In other words, you know, it's not making something bigger than it really is. But to magnify God means that you see God the way he really is. Amen? You say, he's God. I was thinking before I came out here, I was going to ask the praise band. I was just, because I mess with them all the time because they're out there, you know, in the hall. And I was saying, how would you feel tonight if you were getting ready to go out and face the Lord? You know, in other words, face to face. And I didn't say that to them, but then I was going to say, well, you are. See, the Lord is here. And we magnify him, not making, in other words, knowing and realizing how awesome and how big he is. See, when we know how big God is, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, when we magnify him and say, oh, Lord, you are bigger than any problem that I am facing, our heart is then filled with thanksgiving unto God. Amen? And that's so important. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 66:1, it says, thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? Now, that must be a pretty big throne. Amen? Heaven, I mean, the earth is his footstool. Just think, he chose this place here to put his feet. Thank God for that. Solomon there, when he was praying to the Lord, he says, behold, the heavens and heaven of heavens cannot contain you. Isaiah 66:2 says this, for all those things, God says, my hand is made and all those things exist. In other words, everything in the universe. But on this one will I look, here it is, on him who is poor. Are you worn out? You poor, you weak tonight. He says, this one I will look, the one who is poor, and here it is, and of a contrite spirit. That's more than a broken spirit. It's a person whose heart's been crushed. Amen? Talking about the heart. God says, oh, I'll look to that one, and to he who trembles at my word. Isn't that amazing? God owns everything. God created everything. And out of all the things that I just read to you, out of all the things that he created, he says right there, what he tells us what really holds his gaze. Isn't that amazing? God says, to this person I will look. That's what holds the gaze of God. He looks upon our hearts. Did you know that's, you think, you know, God doesn't, you think God is looking on your outside tonight? No. You know, we could dress like $1 million. You know what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with that either. But that doesn't tell us, that doesn't show anything, does it? No, remember when God says in this word, he's in Samuel, he said, you know, he said, God doesn't look as man looks on the exterior, the outside. He says, no. He says, he told the prophet, he said, listen, the Lord looks upon the what? The heart. He sees everything that's going on tonight. He knows everything that's happened to us all week. And you know what? One of the greatest things we can do to be thankful is to move our eyes off of the visible and place them on the invisible. Amen. In other words, we look at our circumstances and we make our circumstances bigger than God. We make them bigger than the Word of God. We make them bigger than the Holy Spirit of God, bigger than our Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, I start thinking about that and I say, you know what, Lord, I'll tell you, there are people I know tonight, you're here and you know what, you may be worn out. And you may be beat down. And you may say, my heart is just worn out and crushed. May I tell you something? If that's true, God's looking right at you. He's his gaze. You've captured his gaze tonight. The Word of God tells us in Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks, listen to how long or when, always for all things. Can you believe that? For all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, if we are to thank God at all times, would you say that the giving of thanks must be important? Absolutely, it must be. And you know what? The giving of thanks unto the Lord, being thankful today, it is a heart issue. It's not a mental issue. It's a heart issue, for out of the heart proceed all the issues of our lives. And you may say, you know, Bill, that scripture you just read in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. I think maybe they wrote that wrong in the Greek or something, you know. You know, the words there, always and for all things. Well, it didn't say in all things, did it? It says for all things. You know, we're not to celebrate going through trials, are we? No. No, but you know, it's not about rejoicing in it. It's rejoicing for all things. We're just saying, Lord, whatever we're going through, I'm going to praise you. You know, Jeremiah said this. He said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I love that scripture because, you know, we're faced with things all the time here at the church. People come into my office, they're faced with mountains. I mean, you know, I had a beautiful little woman come in here that used to attend church here and it doesn't really matter. You know, it hurts me when I see a young mom come in, three little kids, and the dad is not taking care of them. You understand? That's a horrible thing, isn't it? And they're all broken up and they have no money, nothing to eat, and just trying to make it. And you're nursing one and two of them you're pulling along with you. And I say, why all this pain, all this hurt? And I have to always remember there's nothing. And I looked that young girl in the eye and I said, I want you to know that there's nothing too hard for God. There's not one thing. I'm telling you that God is going to come to your aid, that he is going to help you. And may I say to you, I believe that with all my heart, that there's absolutely nothing too hard, nothing too difficult for the Lord that we serve. Amen. And he's the one that looks upon our heart. And there are times, I'll tell you, that we should, even though we're going through the time of whatever it may be, we should just open up our mouth and, you know what, let the thanks be to God pour right out of our heart. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, rejoice sometimes. Oh, I'm sorry, that was the NIV. And I'm just joking. I have nothing. I'm not beating anybody up if they have the NIV. But rejoice always. Did you know that that is a command? That's not an option. That's a command. Rejoice always. What's so wonderful, it tells us who to rejoice in, the object of our rejoicing. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul says, again, I say, rejoice. Paul, writing in Thessalonians 5:17, he says this. He says, pray without ceasing. That's another command. Pray without ceasing. And listen to what he says. Well, let me stop right there. You know, to pray without ceasing doesn't mean that we pray 24/7, does it? No, it means we pray all the time. But here's what it means. It means never give up. Never give up. Persistent, passionate prayer. Never giving up, even when it looks like it's over, even when it looks like there's no way out, even when you feel like there's not, I just can't even say another word. Well, when you can't say another word, fall on your face and start groaning. Amen? Groaning is scriptural. It's in the Bible. Amen? In the Holy Spirit, it says, with groanings that cannot be uttered, there in Romans chapter 8. So groaning is definitely spiritual, okay? I mean, I hear a lot of groaning from the body. You're a praying bunch, aren't you? No, listen, something happens. Praying without ceasing. And then one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. And it says, remember, it says, in all things, or in everything. Here it is. Give what? Thanks. In everything, not for everything, but in it, whatever you're going through, in it. He says, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Would you say that the will of God is the safest place in the world for a Christian to be? Well, if this is a command, would you say that the majority of the church is out of the will of God? Are we really giving thanks? I know you've heard me talk a lot about that, especially in circumstances. Remember what it says in Psalm 22, verse 3, I believe it is, that God inhabits the praises of Israel, or the praises of his people. That word, inhabit, my heart is so full of gratitude for you. You say, well, Bill, how can we really be thankful? when all these things are happening? Well, you know, first of all, we have to believe that God is for us. Amen. But we have to really believe what it says in the Bible. That's why we always need to renew our minds to the Word of God. Remember what it says in Romans 8:28. It says something. It says, we know that all things, amen, not some things, not a few things, all things work together for what? For good. Do you really believe that? That all things, and boy, people say, that's not what that's saying. Yes, it is. It's saying that all things work together for good, not to everyone, no, only to those, it says, who love God and that are called according to His purpose. In other words, God has a purpose, a plan for you in your life, in my life. Amen? Do you believe that every detail of our lives, if we're in Christ and we're saved, work together for good? That they're working together right now. Listen to me. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're facing tonight, I'm telling you that just believe God's word and say, okay, I don't like you. I don't like what's happening. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to work together. You're going to work together for me, and you're going to do it for good. Amen? The outcome may look bad right now, but the fact of the matter is I have a thankful heart because all those things, those whatever is attacking me, whatever is coming against me, you're going to, every lack of faith sometimes I have or doubt in my heart, whatever it is, God says, I'm working, Bill. I'm working in you. And these things that have come against you, oh, I'm telling you, it's going to turn out for your good. I would not trade the things that God has taught me, would you? No, the experiences when we thought that all was gone, there was no way out. You can't make a house payment. You don't have gas for your car. Listen, I remember when Pastor Chuck was, I think he was in Sweden. And this little Swedish girl wanted so hard to get to the event. Daryl, you probably remember this. She poured water in the gas tank. Remember that? Of her car. And it started and she drove to see Pastor Chuck. Honest God, Pastor Chuck, this is the truth. You say, well, Bill, you take Sudafed tonight or something? Are you weird? No, man. I'm just being honest. Listen. There's nothing too hard for God. I remember when I first came to the Lord there, you know, I was visiting some friends and I was only about a year old in the Lord and we were all kind of hippies back then. You know what I mean? And long hair and, you know, cool and all that. You guys aren't cool today. We were cool. We're in this little bug, you know, this Volkswagen bugs. And, you know, you can only get so many people. Man, we had but one car. And we just all packed in there, and the car died. I mean, it just died. And, you know, the motor is in the back. Remember how you lifted up the thing? And so I was talking to the guy, and he said, I said, what do you think it is? I don't know. So we all just walked over and just were just talking, and he stayed looking at the motor, and all of a sudden it started up. And I said, man, what did you do? He says, I didn't do a thing. I said, Lord, I said, would you please heal this car? That's the truth. There's nothing too hard for God. See, you say, well, Bill, that's just silly. No, it's not. We just prayed for a person here not too long ago. Listen, the doctor sent her home from the hospital and said 90% of her heart was no good and only 10% is working. We cannot even continue any treatments. Do you know what? I went and prayed with that woman at her house just recently before she could go to another doctor. And you know what she told me? She said, the doctor said, 100% of my heart is now working. Amen? How do I explain that? I don't know, but I know everybody was praying for her. And you think, well, how did that happen? I don't know. God is the God of miracles. Amen? You know, we don't schedule miracles. We don't plan miracles. We're not a healer. Amen? No, we look to the Lord. See, all things work together for good. That's what the Bible says. And you know what that tells me? It tells me that we're not the victim. It tells me that we are the victor. And you say, well, now, Bill, wait a minute. You don't understand. My heart tonight is so overwhelmed. My heart is so weak. Well, listen very carefully then. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. Because we are a church. We are a people that have taken the yoke of Christ. We've embraced his lowly heart. And you know, we're a church who believes with all of our heart that this scripture is true. Let me read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, where Paul writes, and he says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly." Now we'll do that too, but that's not what I'm talking about. "Warn those who are unruly." Here it is. "Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all." You know what it means when it says comfort the faint-hearted? The word comfort there is saying speak to that person. See, that's when we have a thankful heart, we're always looking how we can help other people. Did you ever notice that? How we can bless other people. You know what? Faint-hearted, that word really in the Greek, I think it means something like little-souled or something like that, weak-spirited. And you know, there are people that come into the body of Christ, and they come and they visit here or they on our Sundays or whatnot, and they come in, and you know, they may be faint-hearted. Maybe you're faint-hearted tonight. In other words, maybe you feel that, you know, I love the Lord, but I've blown it so many times, I don't know that God will ever forgive me, or those past sins. And the reason that you're like that is you're just kind of faint-hearted. You haven't come to the place in your life, and it's okay because we grow some of us little babies, then we grow up and so forth. But maybe you've not come to that place, you know, to where, you know, that you just say, I just feel inadequate. I don't feel gifted. You just need someone to comfort you. You need someone to embrace you. You need the body of Christ to do what the body of Christ should always be doing, and that is reaching out and upholding the weak, supporting them, those that are not sure about their salvation. People call me from the radio all the time. I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm really saved. They're living in fear and so forth. I have people here that do the same thing. Or they feel so guilty about their past that they just say, you know what, I don't believe God could really ever forgive me. I'm telling you what, if you're in Christ, he has washed away your sins. Amen. He has washed them completely away. You know, there are people that come in here, church. Remember our vision statement. You know, a great commitment to the great commandment, and a great commission grows a great church. Amen. Love never fails. The great commandment, to love, the great commandment. Love God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then it says the second is like the first. It says, and love one another as yourself. Amen? Love never fails. We need to love one another, uphold one another. And you know, there's something about being around someone, no matter what they're going through, when they have a thankful heart. They just say, I'm just thankful. I don't have a thing, but I'm thankful. Have you ever seen those that have absolutely nothing, but they have the biggest smile on their face? They're thankful. Listen, I know people that have millions of dollars and they're so unthankful. They're so lonely. And I know those that, you know what? They basically don't have a thing and they're some of the happiest people. Matter of fact, you want to see some happy people, go get involved with missions and go to Casa Hogar. I'm going to be in Mexico this month sometime. And you know, go to the orphanage and you'll be surrounded by children with the biggest smiles, the happiest voices that you've ever heard in your life. Amen? That's what it's all about. And they're grateful, yet they have nothing. But yet they have everything. Thank God they're in a wonderful place as well. Turn in your Bibles now to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, as I turn with you. Chapter 11. And let's prepare our hearts tonight. And then we're going to, in just a few minutes, we'll pass out communion. But let me turn there with me and let's prepare our hearts and embrace the heart of Christ. My heart is so full of gratitude for you. You say, well, Bill, how can we really be thankful when all these things are happening? Well, you know, first of all, we have to believe that God is for us. Amen. But we have to really believe what it says in the Bible. That's why we always need to renew our minds to the Word of God. Remember what it says in Romans 8:28. It says something. It says, we know that all things, amen, not some things, not a few things, all things work together for what?
for good. Do you really believe that? That all things, and boy, people say, that's not what that's saying. Yes, it is. It's saying that all things work together for good, not to everyone, no, only to those, it says, who love God and that are called according to His purpose. In other words, God has a purpose, a plan for you in your life, in my life. Amen? Do you believe that every detail of our lives, if we're in Christ and we're saved, work together for good? That they're working together right now. Listen to me. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're facing tonight, I'm telling you that just believe God's word and say, okay, I don't like you. I don't like what's happening. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to work together. You're going to work together for me, and you're going to do it for good. Amen? The outcome may look bad right now, but the fact of the matter is I have a thankful heart because all those things, those whatever is attacking me, whatever is coming against me, you're going to, every lack of faith sometimes I have or doubt in my heart, whatever it is, God says, I'm working, Bill. I'm working in you. And these things that have come against you, oh, I'm telling you, it's going to turn out for your good. I would not trade the things that God has taught me, would you? No, the experiences when we thought that all was gone, there was no way out, you can't make a house payment, you don't have gas for your car. Listen, I remember when Pastor Chuck was, I think he was in Sweden, and this little Swedish girl wanted so hard to get to the event. Daryl, you probably remember this. She poured water in the gas tank. Remember that? Of her car. And it started and she drove to see Pastor Chuck. Honest God, Pastor Chuck, this is the truth. You say, well, Bill, you take Sudafed tonight or something? Are you weird? No, man. I'm just being honest. Listen. There's nothing too hard for God. I remember when I first came to the Lord there, you know, I was visiting some friends and I was only about a year old in the Lord and we were all kind of hippies back then, you know what I mean? And long hair and, you know, cool and all that. You guys aren't cool today. We were cool. We're in this little bug, you know, this Volkswagen bugs. And, you know, you can only get so many people. Man, we had but one car. And we just all packed in there, and the car died. I mean, it just died. And, you know, the motor is in the back. Remember how you lifted up the thing? And so I was talking to the guy, and I said, what do you think it is? I don't know. So we all just walked over and just were just talking, and he stayed looking at the motor, and all of a sudden it started up. And I said, man, what did you do? He says, I didn't do a thing. I said, Lord, would you please heal this car? That's the truth. There's nothing too hard for God. See, you say, well, Bill, that's just silly. No, it's not. We just prayed for a person here not too long ago. Listen, the doctor sent her home from the hospital and said 90% of her heart was no good. And only 10% is working. We cannot even continue any treatments. Do you know what? I went and prayed with that woman at her house just recently before she could go to another doctor. And you know what she told me? She said, the doctor said, 100% of my heart is now working. Amen? You say, how do I explain that? I don't know, but I know everybody was praying for her. And you think, well, how did that happen? I don't know. God is the God of miracles. Amen? You know, we don't schedule miracles. We don't plan miracles. We're not a healer. Amen? No, we look to the Lord. See, all things work together for good. That's what the Bible says. And you know what that tells me? It tells me that we're not the victim. It tells me that we are the victor. And you say, well, now, Bill, wait a minute. You don't understand. My heart tonight is so overwhelmed. My heart is so weak. Well, listen very carefully then. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. Because we are a church. We are a people that have taken the yoke of Christ. We've embraced His lowly heart. And you know, we're a church who believes with all of our heart that this scripture is true. Let me read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, where Paul writes, and he says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Now we'll do that too, but that's not what I'm talking about. Warn those who are unruly. Here it is. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. You know what it means when it says comfort the faint-hearted? That word doesn't, the word comfort there is saying speak to that person. See, that's when we have a thankful heart, we're always looking how we can help other people. Did you ever notice that? How we can bless other people. You know what? Faint-hearted. That word really in the Greek, I think it means something like little-souled or something like that, weak-spirited. And you know, there are people that come into the body of Christ. And they come and they visit here or they on our Sundays or whatnot. And they come in and you know, they may be faint-hearted. Maybe you're faint-hearted tonight. In other words, maybe you feel that, you know, I love the Lord, but I've blown it so many times. I don't know that God will ever forgive me or those past sins. And the reason that you're like that is you're just kind of faint-hearted. You haven't come to the place in your life, and it's okay because we grow some of us little babies, then we grow up and so forth. But you maybe you've not come to that place, you know, to where, you know, that you just say, I just feel inadequate. I don't feel gifted. You just need someone to comfort you. You need someone to embrace you. You need the body of Christ to do what the body of Christ should always be doing, and that is reaching out and upholding the weak, supporting them, those that are not sure about their salvation. People call me from the radio all the time. I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm really saved. They're living in fear and so forth. I have people here that do the same thing. Or they feel so guilty about their past that they just say, you know what, I don't believe God could really ever forgive me. I'm telling you what, if you're in Christ, He has washed away your sins. Amen. He has washed them completely away. You know, there are people that come in here, church. Remember our vision statement. You know, a great commitment to the great commandment and a great commission grows a great church. Amen. Love never fails. The great commandment, to love, the great commandment. Love God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then it says the second is like the first. It says, and love one another as yourself. Amen. Love never fails. We need to love one another, uphold one another. And you know, there's something about being around someone, no matter what they're going through, when they have a thankful heart. They just say, I'm just thankful. I don't have a thing, but I'm thankful. Have you ever seen those that have absolutely nothing, but they have the biggest smile on their face? They're thankful. Listen, I know people that have millions of dollars and they're so unthankful. They're so lonely. And I know those that, you know what? They basically don't have a thing and they're some of the happiest people. Matter of fact, you want to see some happy people, get involved with missions and go to Casa Hogar. I'm going to be in Mexico this month sometime. And you know, go to the orphanage and you'll be surrounded by children with the biggest smiles, the happiest voices that you've ever heard in your life. Amen. That's what it's all about. And they're grateful, yet they have nothing, but yet they have everything. Thank God they're in a wonderful place as well. Turn in your Bibles now to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, as I turn with you. Chapter 11. And let's prepare our hearts tonight. And then we're going to, in just a few minutes, we'll pass out communion. But let me turn there with me and let's prepare our hearts and embrace the heart of Christ.